Chapter 13. Lightly any past phase of their relation he took something from its present beauty. The color rose to her face. Between you and me everything matters. Of course. She felt the unperceiving sweetness of his smile. That's why, he went on, everything, for me, is here and now. On this bench, between you and me. She caught at the phrase. That's what I meant. It's here and now. We can't get away from it. Get away from it? Do you want to? Again? Her heart was beating unsteadily. Something in her, fitfully and with reluctance, struggled to free itself, but the warmth of his nearness penetrated every sense as the sunlight steeped the landscape. Then, suddenly, she felt that she wanted no less than the whole of her happiness. Again? But wasn't it you, the last time, she paused, the tremor in her of psyche holding up the lamp. But in the interrogative light of her pause her companion's features underwent no change. The last time? Last spring? But it was you who, for the best of reasons, as you've told me, turned me back from your very door last spring. She saw that he was good-humoredly ready to rush out, for her sentimental satisfaction, a question which, for his own, time had so conclusively dealt with, and the sense of his readiness reassured her. I wrote as soon as I could, she rejoined. Explained the delay, and asked you to come. And you never even answered my letter. It was impossible to come then. I had to go back to my post. And impossible to write and tell me so? Your letter was a long time coming. I had waited a week 10 days. I had some excuse for thinking, when it came, that you were in no great hurry for an answer. You thought that really after reading it? I thought it. Her heart leaped up to her throat. Then why are you here today? He turned on her with a quick look of wonder. Odd knows if you can ask me that. You see, I was right to say I didn't understand. He stood up abruptly, and stood facing her, blocking the view over the river and the checkered slopes. Perhaps I might say so too. No, no. We must neither of us have any reason for saying it again. She looked at him gravely. Surely you and I needn't arrange the lights, before we show ourselves to each other. I want you to see me just as I am, with all my irrational doubts and scruples. The old ones and the new ones too. He came back to his seat beside her. Never mind the old ones. They were justified, I'm willing to admit it. With the governess, having suddenly to be packed off, and Effie on your hands, and your mother-in-law ill, I see the impossibility of your letting me come. I even see that, at the moment, it was difficult to write and explain. But what does all that matter now? The new scruples are the ones I want to tackle. Again her heart trembled. She felt her happiness so near, so sure, that to strain it closer might be like a child's crushing a pet bird in its caress. But her very security urged her on. For so long her doubts had been knife-edged. Now they had turned into bright harmless toys that she could toss and catch without peril. You didn't come, and you didn't answer my letter. And after waiting 4 months I wrote another. And I answered that one. And I'm here. Yes. She held his eyes. But in my last letter I repeated exactly what I'd said in the first, the one I wrote you last June. I told you then, that I was ready to give you the answer to what you'd asked me in London. And in telling you that, I told you what the answer was. My dearest, Darrow murmured. You ignored that letter. All summer you made no sign. And all I ask now is, that you should frankly tell me why. I can only repeat what I've just said. I was hurt and unhappy, and I doubted you. I suppose if I'd cared less I should have been more confident. I cared so much, that I couldn't risk another failure. For you'd made me feel, that I'd miserably failed. So I shut my eyes and set my teeth, and turned my back. There's the whole pusillanimous truth of it. Oh, if it's the whole truth. She let him clasp her. Tea, there's my torment, you see. I thought that was what your silence meant till I made you break it. Now I want to be sure that I was right. What can I tell you to make you sure? You can let me tell you everything first. She drew away, but without taking her hands from him. When saw you in Paris, she began. She looked at him, and he faced her steadily. The light was full on his pleasantly brown face, his gray eyes, his frank white forehead. She noticed for the first time a seal ring in a setting of twisted silver on the hand he had kept on hers. In Paris? Oh, yes, so he did. He came back and told me. I think you talked to him a moment in a theater. I asked if you'd spoken of my having put you off, or if you'd sent me any message. He didn't remember that you had. In a crush in a Paris foyer? My dear. It was absurd of me. But Owen and I have always been on odd kind of brother and sister terms. I think he guessed about us when he saw you with me in London. So he teased me a little, and tried to make me curious about you. And when he saw he'd succeeded, he told me he hadn't had time to say much to you, because you were in such a hurry to get back to the lady you were with. He still held her hands, but she felt no tremor in his, and the blood did not stir in his brown cheek. He seemed to be honestly turning over his memories. Yes. And what else did he tell you? Oh, not much, except that she was awfully pretty. When I asked him to describe her, he said you had her tucked away in a bagner, and he hadn't actually seen her, but he saw the tail of her cloak, and somehow knew from that she was pretty. One does, you know, I think he said the cloak was pink. Darrow broke into a laugh. Of course it was, they always are. So that was at the bottom of your doubts? Not at first. I only laughed. But afterward, when I wrote you and you didn't answer, oh, you do see? She appealed to him. He was looking at her gently. Yes, I see. It's not as if this were a light thing between us. I want you to know me as I am. If I thought that at that moment. When you were on your way here, almost, he dropped her hand and stood up. Yes, I understand. But do you? Her look followed him. I'm not a goose of a girl. I know, of course I know, but there are things a woman feels. When what she knows doesn't make any difference. It's not that I want you to explain, I mean, about that particular evening. It's only that I want you to have the whole of my feeling. I didn't know what it was till I saw you again. I never dreamed I should say such things to you. I never dreamed I should be here to hear you say them. He turned back and, lifting a floating end of her scarf, put his lips to it. But now that you have, I know, he smiled down at her. You know? That this is no light thing between us. Now you may ask me anything you please. That was all I wanted to ask you. For a long moment they looked at each other without speaking. She saw the dancing spirit in his eyes turn grave and dark into a passionate sternness. He stooped and kissed her, and she sat, as if folded in wings. Zaya, it was in the natural order of things that, on the way back to the house, their talk should have turned to the future. Anna was not eager to define it. As he had an extraordinary sensitiveness to the impalpable elements of happiness, and as she walked at Darrow's side, her imagination flew back and forth, spinning luminous webs of feeling between herself and the scene about her. Every heightening of emotion produced for her a new effusion of beauty in visible things, and with it the sense that such moments should be lingered over and absorbed like some unrenewable miracle. She understood Darrow's impatience to see their plans take shape. She knew it must be so, she would not have had it otherwise. But to reach a point where she could fix her mind on his appeal for dates and decisions was like trying to break her way through the silver tangle of an April wood. Darrow wished to use his diplomatic opportunities as a means of studying certain economic and social problems with which he presently hoped to deal in print, and with this in view he had asked for, and obtained, a South American appointment. Anna was ready to follow where he led, and not reluctant to put new sights as well as new thoughts between herself and her past. As he had, in a direct way, only Effie and Effie's education to consider, and there seemed, after due reflection, No reason why the most anxious regard for these should not be conciliated with the demands of Darrow's career. Effie, it was evident, could be left to Madame de Chantel's care till the couple should have organized their life. And she might even, as long as her future stepfather's work retained him in distant posts, continue to divide a year between giver and the Antipodes. As for Owen, who had reached his legal majority 2 years before, and was soon to attain the age fixed for the taking over of his paternal inheritance, the arrival of this date would reduce his stepmother's responsibility to a friendly concern for his welfare. This made for the prompt realization of Darrow's wishes, and there seemed no reason why the marriage should not take place within the 6 weeks that remained of his leave. They passed out of the woodwalk into the open brightness of the garden. The noon sunlight sheeted with gold the bronze flanks of the polygonal yews. Chrysanthemums, russet, saffron and orange, glowed like the efflorescence of an enchanted forest. Belts of red begonia purpling to wine color ran like smoldering flame among the borders, and above this outspread tapestry the house extended its harmonious length, the soberness of its lines softened to grace in the luminous misty air. Darrow stood still, and Anna felt that his glance was traveling from her to the scene about them, and then back to her face. You're sure you're prepared to give up, giver? You look so made for each other. Oh, giver, she broke off suddenly, feeling as if her too careless tone had delivered all her past into his hands, and with one of her instinctive movements of recoil she added, colon, when Owen marries I shall have to give it up. When Owen marries, that's looking some distance ahead. I want to be told that meanwhile you'll have no regrets. She hesitated. Why did he press her to uncover to him her poor starved past? A vague feeling of loyalty, a desire to spare what could no longer harm her, made her answer evasively, colon, there will probably be no meanwhile. Apostrophe apostrophe Owen may marry before long. As he had not meant to touch on the subject, for her stepson had sworn her to provisional secrecy, but since the shortness of Darrow's leave necessitated a prompt adjustment of their own plans, it was, after all, inevitable that she should give him at least a hint of Owen's. Owen marry? Why, he always seems like a fawn in flannels. I hope he's found a dryad. There might easily be one left in these blue and gold woods. I can't tell you yet where he found his dryad, but she is one, I believe. At any rate, she'll become the giver woods better than I do. Only there may be difficulties. Well, at that age they're not always to be wished away. She hesitated. When, at any rate, has made up his mind to overcome them, and I've promised to see him through. She went on, after a moment's consideration, to explain that her stepson's choice was, for various reasons, not likely to commend itself to his grandmother. He must be prepared for it, and I've promised to do the preparing. You know I always have seen him through things, and he rather counts on me now. She fancied that Darrow's exclamation had in it a faint note of annoyance, and wondered if he again suspected her of Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.